Hear these words from Psalm 66. Make a joyful noise to God, all the earth. Sing the glory of his name. Give to him glorious praise. Say to God, how awesome are your deeds. Because of your great power, your enemies cringe before you. All the earth worships you. They sing praises to you. Sing praises to your name. Come and see what God has done. He is awesome in his deeds among mortals. He turned the sea into dry land. They passed through the river on foot. There we rejoiced in him who rules by his might forever, whose eyes keep watch on the nations. Let the rebellious not exalt themselves. Bless our God, O peoples. Let the sound of his praise be heard, who has kept us among the living and has not let our feet slip. I will come into your house with burnt offerings. I will pay you my vows, those that my lips uttered and my mouth promised when I was in trouble. I will offer to you burnt offerings. Come and hear, all you who fear God, and I will tell what he has done for me. I cried aloud, and he was extolled with my tongue. If I had cherished iniquity in my heart, the Lord would not have listened. But truly, God has listened. He has given heed to the words of my prayer. Blessed be God, because he has not rejected my prayer or removed his steadfast love from me. Would you pray with me? O God of grace, God of love, O God who hears your people when we pray, we come to this place today to lift your name high. We join all creation, all the earth, in singing out to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. We acknowledge all you have done for us. Even if our hearts are weary, we acknowledge today that thus far you have brought us. You are here, and you are our God. And so would you be pleased in the worship that you receive from us? And would you strengthen and renew our hearts to continue walking with you again and again? This we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. If you'll open your Bibles to Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2, starting in verse 22. When the time came for their purification, according to the law of Moses, they brought him up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male shall be designated as holy to the Lord. And they offered a sacrifice according to what is stated in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. Now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. This man was righteous and devout, looking forward to the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit rested on him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he'd seen the Lord's Messiah. Guided by the Spirit, Simeon came into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what was customary under the law, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, "Master, now you are dismissing your servant in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel." And the child's father and mother were amazed at what was being said about him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to his mother Mary, "This child is destined for the falling and the rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be opposed, so that the inner thoughts of many will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul too." There was also a prophet, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel, of the tribe of Asher. She was of great age, having lived with her husband 7 years after her marriage, then as a widow to the age of 84. She never left the temple, but worshiped there with fasting and prayer night and day. At that moment, she came and began to praise God and to speak about the child to all who were looking for the redemption of Jerusalem. When they'd finished everything required by the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee, to their own town of Nazareth. The child grew and became strong, filled with wisdom, and the favor of God was upon him. Would you pray with me? Father God, now as we turn to your word, we believe the presence of Jesus Christ is here among us, just as truly as you were present before Anna and Simeon on this day a couple thousand years ago. And we have come to this place because we do want to see you as they saw you. We do want to know you as they knew you. And we do want to exalt your name as they exalted you. And so, Father God, through your Holy Spirit in these moments, would you give us ears to hear what it is you want us to hear? And so you might help us be who it is you want us to be. And so you might help us do what it is you want us to do. This we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. I wonder how many times I've been in the presence of something or someone really great and totally missed it. Probably more than I even want to know. On a cold January morning in 2007, in a metro station in Washington, D.C., a man began to play the violin. He played 6 Bach pieces for about 45 minutes in all. During that time, since it was rush hour, it's estimated that thousands of people went through the metro station. 3 minutes went by, and a middle-aged man stopped for a few seconds, and then he hurried up to meet a schedule. A minute later, the violinist received his first dollar. A woman threw the money in the till and continued to walk on. A few minutes later, someone leaned against the wall to listen in, but then he looked at his watch and quickly started to walk on again. It was sure he was late for work. The one who paid the most attention to this violinist was a 3-year-old boy. His mother tagged him along, hurried, but the kid stopped to look at the man playing the instrument. Finally, the mother pushed hard and the child continued to walk, but he kept turning his head back over and over again. The same action was repeated by several other children during that time, and yet all the parents, without exception, forced them to move on. In those 45 minutes the musician played, only 6 people stopped to stay for a while. About 20 gave him money, but they kept walking on. He collected $32. And when he finished playing, no one applauded. No one even seemed to notice. No one knew that the violinist before them was named Joshua Bell, one of the best musicians in the world. The Washington Times put him up to it. He played one of the most intricate pieces ever written on a violin, get this, worth $3.5 million. 2 days before playing in the subway, Joshua Bell sold out a theater in Boston where the cheapest seat went for $100. Thousands of people were in the presence of something, someone amazing, and they totally missed it. And I probably would have too. We all miss it sometimes. And you see, violinists are one thing, but what about when the one we miss again and again is none less than Jesus Christ, our Lord, revealing himself to us? Sometimes I think about the Gospels, and I think about how many people were in Jesus' presence at some point during his 33 years on earth. I think about how many people lived on that same block that he grew up on in Nazareth. How many people were in Bethlehem that night that he was born and had no idea that something unusual was unfolding just a stone's throw away? I wonder how many people were passed a piece of bread that day on the hillside, created from the hands of the living God himself, and said, "No thanks, I had bread last night for dinner. I'm more in the mood for Mexican." I wonder how many people he passed on the streets, those that stood behind him in the checkout line and just wished he would hurry on a little bit. I wonder how many people heard him speaking and walked on thinking just another one of those religious fanatics. I wonder how many saw him on the cross and kept their daily routines. Just another criminal. You see, it seems that for each person we see in the Gospels who really connected with Jesus, there were many, many more who brushed shoulders with him and never thought twice about it at all. And how often, I wonder, are we the many more? The next few weeks, we're going to look at the exceptions. We're going to look at those people in the Gospels who did see Jesus. Those people who did stop in their tracks and take note. We're going to look at those people who did have a hunch that they were in the presence of someone magnificent and they better not move too soon. And standing in their shoes, we're going to ask how we might get to see Jesus too. How we might miss his presence less and live in it more and more. Because I believe if there is anything that will make this year different from all of our other years, it will be seeing the living Christ wherever the living Christ wants to be seen. And that is my hope for us the next few weeks and this year. As a Jewish couple with a firstborn child, Mary and Joseph had two ritual obligations that required their presence at the temple. After giving birth to Jesus, Mary was ritually impure for 33 days. And after that time, she was required to go to a mikvah, they called it. That's a ritual bath where she would be purified. And since their child was a boy and he was the firstborn, Mary and Joseph needed to dedicate this special son to the Lord. And this dedication for every Jewish family required two sacrifices. One was a burnt offering before the Lord, and another was a sin offering. Those who had money, the burnt offering was to be a lamb, and the sin offering to be a pigeon or a turtle dove. For those who couldn't afford a lamb, two turtle doves or two pigeons were fine. And if you were really poor, you could even bring two pancakes. God was generous. Mary and Joseph come in, and it says they're bringing the acceptable sacrifice, two pigeons. That means they fell into that second economic group. Definitely not rich, nor are they the poorest of the poor. They're just kind of ordinary, middle class, you could say. So to the unguided eye, they looked just like every other young couple dedicating babies looked that day. But not to Simeon. Simeon, now he could see what others couldn't see. Why is that? Luke makes it so clear. He says Simeon lived his life with the Holy Spirit. Look at it again, right there. It says, the Holy Spirit rested on him. What a beautiful image. This is a picture of this life deeply, intimately connected to God. It's not a life that just checks in with God ever so often, but it is a life that listens when God speaks, and it takes what it hears seriously. There was a real day that the Holy Spirit spoke clearly to Simeon and said, you will not see death until you have seen the Messiah. And Simeon listened to that voice. He heard that voice. He took it seriously, and he began to watch. Year after year, he held on to these words. Sure, he could see his body aging. Sure, he could feel his bones getting tired. Sure, he knew that his days were getting numbered, but he remembered that back when his God had spoken to him, and he would keep taking seriously what his God had said. He would keep watching. He would keep waiting. He would keep trusting. A life lived with the Holy Spirit listens when God speaks and follows when God leads. That day, Simeon showed up in the temple, not just as some religious ritual, though all the others might have been there for that reason. Even perhaps Mary and Joseph. Twice, Luke tells us that they were there because the law said they had to be there. Obligation of sorts. But Simeon, he wasn't at the temple because he felt he had to be at the temple. No, he was there, it says so clearly, because the Spirit guided him to that place that day. And he knew and loved his God enough to know that when God says go, it's really a pretty good idea to go. He's probably got something for you that you just really, really don't want to miss. Now, this isn't all to say that Simeon's life with God was always about hearing these amazing promises clear as day and going on these great field trips wherever God might take you. No, before all of that, Simeon is simply described as a man who's righteous and devout. Righteous. We don't much like that word, do we? Kind of sounds a little bit too squeaky clean. A little bit too tied to the do's and the don'ts. Too unattainable, too unlike us. But really, being righteous, it really just means this. It really just means knowing what God desires of us and taking that seriously. It really just means that we deeply care about God's hopes for our lives and that we just won't settle for less. Righteous. Really, it just means daily showing up to God with all the details of our lives and really, truly seeking to honor Him in those. Simeon was righteous, and that doesn't mean that he was otherworldly or that he was perfect. It really just means that he was faithful to show up to God each day, his hands open, his life surrendered, seeking to live into God's desires for him just one day at a time. And I can guarantee you that there were lots of days that Simeon didn't get a clear word from the Spirit. There were lots of days that he didn't get to go on any fun field trips to the temple with the Spirit. Lots of days where he just showed up to God and said, here's my day again, oh God. My ordinary day. Shape it. Fill it. Use it, oh God, however you please. Righteous. It's really just taking God's heart for us seriously. When we do that, there's a really good chance we'll see Jesus. Devout. That really just speaks about his priorities. In that word devout, you hear the word devoted. It's what you've given your heart to. It's what you pursue most of all. Simeon, above anything else, desired to know God and to be a part of what God was up to. Devout. When knowing God, walking with God, participating with God is what our hearts long for most of all. Devout. When we live like that, there's a pretty good chance we're going to see Jesus. Righteous and devout, resting in the Spirit all his days. That's what led him to the temple, to be in the right place at the right time on this most extraordinary day. And not just to be there, but to see, to really see what God was doing there. A dozen babies passed by. Simeon didn't look twice, but then he saw the baby. Not just a baby, but a promise from his God, given to him, being fulfilled before his very eyes. Not just a baby, but the gift for all the world. God's Messiah, the chosen, the anointed one, come to save us all. Simeon sees him, he knows him, he embraces him. He rushes over to this young couple, his heart's pounding, he's breathless. May I hold him? Before Mary could comply or not, Simeon has the baby in his arms. And he's trembling, tears streaming down his face. It doesn't say it in Luke, but you know it. Can you see it? Something he's been waiting to see from God for decades. And here it is, unfolding in his midst. Can you feel his joy? The old man begins to sing, "Master, I can go in peace. Your servant's heart is at rest. My eyes have seen your salvation, a light to the Gentiles, glory to Israel." Mary and Joseph just stand there, shocked, amazed. Who is this man? Why our baby? Why this great scene? They may have just written him off as a senile old man had they not heard similar words themselves, spoken from the angel even before their Jesus was born. Simeon looks at Mary, that young, innocent girl, and he grabs her hands in his, and he holds them tightly. This pained look comes over his face. "Oh, sweet girl, this child of yours, he's destined for the falling and the rising of many in Israel. Oh, he's going to be opposed. Oh, dear lady, a sword will pierce your own soul. It's not going to be easy being this boy's mom. It's not going to be easy." And with that, Simeon fades away, never to be heard from again. Perhaps this was his final song. Perhaps that night he laid his head down on his pillow one last time, resting in that spirit that he'd walked beside for so, so long. A life fulfilled, for his eyes had seen Jesus, and he knew it. He didn't miss it. Then there's Anna. We know even less about Anna than we do about Simeon, but I think their souls were one and the same. Anna was a prophet. She was in the business of seeking to know what God is up to. She was of great age. That's the Bible's polite way of saying she was pretty darn old. 84 to be exact. She was married once, likely as a teenager, and after just 7 years, he died. And so once upon a time, you had this young 20-something-year-old girl who already knew all about a broken heart and broken dreams and a life that wasn't supposed to go this way. And she turns her heartache into calling, believing that God might be in the midst of it all. And now that's one way to see Jesus, to refuse to get stuck in our disappointments, but to see all of life's twists and turns as nothing less than opportunities. Opportunities to imagine anew. I wonder what God might have for me now. I thought that. What if it's this? That's one way to see Jesus. Young Anna moved into the temple, and for 60-something years she lived there, worshiping and fasting, it says, every day and every night. Can you imagine? Can you see her? This old, fragile woman whose wrinkles tell of a life that's so full of story. Whose eyes have this light behind them that makes you think that God is just right there. I don't know about you, but I see Mother Teresa's face when I hear Anna. I think they probably look the same. She sees that baby. And like Simeon, she knows that this isn't just any baby. And imagine in her 60 plus years in that temple, how many baby boys she had seen. Thousands upon thousands. And yet she knew without a doubt that this one was different. How did she know? All those years of worship helped her to know. Anna can't keep it to herself. She begins to praise God out loud, proclaims to anyone who will listen boldly, "Here he is." Those looking for God to redeem us, to save us, to forgive us, here he is, right here, you guys. Don't miss it. The one we've been waiting for, the one our hearts long for, the one who changes my story, our story, the one who changes all the stories, here he is. You can't keep her quiet. A life that turned heartache into calling, disappointment into opportunity. A life lived in worship. A life enveloped in prayer. A heart willing to proclaim out loud. This kind of life, this kind of heart will see Jesus again and again and again. When all the others miss him, this kind of life will see him. Clear as day, you will see him. The two folks who see Jesus when everyone else passes him by, both of them hang out where they think God's most likely to make his presence known. Did you notice that? If Jesus was going to make a grand appearance in Belfair today, where do you think he'd show up? Where do you think? McDonald's, Safeway. I like it. Where do you think? In your hearts, where do you think? And is that where you hang out might be a good idea. Scripture says that God inhabits. That means he lives in the praises of his people. That's what we do in this place, lift up our praises so that God might find his home with us more and more. Jesus hangs out, shows up in special ways in worship. Do you show up there? At least today, yeah. God says he's near to the brokenhearted. Do you hang out in those places of brokenness? Do you draw near to them? Jesus tells his disciples that he will be with them nonstop while they are on a mission for him. Do you find him there? Do you get busy on mission? You'll see him there. Show up and hang out where you think Jesus is most likely to reveal his presence. Good chance you'll see him there. Simeon and Anna, the two who don't miss Jesus, they both walk with God, faithfully go wherever God leads. Those nudges on your heart, those things that God is asking you to do, what do you do with those? Do you tuck them away and say, okay, God, how about you just show me 3 more signs that I should do that, and then I'll think about it? Or, I hear you, God, I'll get to it. Or do you play games with it? I mean, I know there's a nudge on my heart, but how do I know that I know that I know that it wasn't just the romaine lettuce that I had for lunch? Or that I'm not just sleep deprived, or I'm not just having a midlife crisis? How do I know that I know that I know that I know? Truth is, it's not that hard. When there is a stirring in our hearts to be a part of something bigger than ourselves, something of surrender, something of sharing in the truth of Jesus with others, you can pretty much know good and well that it is from God. And we do know, don't we? We really do. So what are the nudges that he's putting on your heart? What has God been asking you to do? We can stall, or we can follow. Simeon and Anna, they simply followed. When God leads your heart somewhere, do you just go? Chances are, if you do, you have seen Jesus lots and lots and lots of times. Chances are, if you will, you will see Jesus too. Finally, Simeon and Anna, they both speak up when God gives them a word to proclaim. They don't dare keep it to themselves. Simeon sings out for the whole temple to hear, a light for the Gentiles, glory for Israel, right here. Anna, she makes this big old scene, begging, pleading for everyone to turn and notice who Jesus is. They both hang out where God's presence might show up. They both follow when God says go. And they both refuse to keep God's good news for themselves, but gladly, boldly proclaim every word that God asked them to say. They both long for nothing more than to lift up Jesus and give God the glory. That's all their hearts long for. They both sing their final song on this day. And their final song is not about them at all. It's a song asking that others simply might see Jesus and honor him too. A beautiful story. 2 stories are ending as this new baby, this new story, is just beginning. What if our lives, our stories, were summarized, the full of them, in just 3 or 4 lines, like Simeon and Anna? What would that story, that short story, sound like? Would the main things that define us be the things of seeing Jesus and making sure others see him too? Would our stories tell of a people who hang out where God shows up? What our stories tell of a people who go where God leads? What our stories tell of a people who speak out loud the good news that they see? What our stories tell of a people resolved to do one thing, to take that baby from Simeon's hands and lift Jesus high in our lives too. A people whose greatest passion is simply this, to see Jesus, to know Jesus, and by all means to make sure everybody else gets to see and know Jesus too. These are the first, 2 of the first people to see Jesus when he walked this earth. 2 of the first people to really see Jesus. 2 of the first people his presence wasn't missed on. That our stories might be as theirs, that we might see Jesus and lift him high too. It can happen. Would you pray with me? Lord Jesus, open our eyes. We want to see you, to reach out and touch you, and to say for all to hear that we love you. Open our eyes. Oh Jesus, we want to see you. Amen.